Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
The following teaching is presented by Father Cedric Pazegna and is entitled, Be Renewed in Your Mind.
There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there was in Jerusalem, at the sheep gate, a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, with five porticos. In these lay a large number of ill, blind, lame, and crippled. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd been ill for a long time, he said to him, Do you want to be well? And the sick man answered him, Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool. When the water is stirred up, while I'm on my way, somebody else gets down there before me. And Jesus said to him, Rise, take up your mat, and walk. And immediately the man became well and took up his mat and walked. Now that day was a Sabbath, so the Jews said to the man who was cured, It is the Sabbath, it's not lawful for you to carry your mat. And he answered them, The man who made me well told me, Take up your mat and walk. And they asked him, Who is the man who said, Take up your mat and walk? And the man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away, since there was a crowd there. After this, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, Look, you're well. Do not sin anymore, lest something worse happen to you. The man went and told the Jews that Jesus was the one who made him well. Therefore, the Jews began to persecute Jesus because Jesus did this on a Sabbath. The Gospel of the Lord. One verse in the Bible that has really touched my life is Proverbs 23:7. And that is, as a person thinks, so they are. And I want you to think about your thoughts this morning, because your thoughts pave the way for success or failure, for misery or happiness. It's all about what you think. As you think, so you are. This morning we heard beautiful words of healing. The pool of Bethesda, and the man healed. We pray for healing in our thinking and in our mind. You know, from the moment we wake up, we're thinking. Psychologists call this self-talk. It's that inner dialogue that we all have. Once we wake up, the way I picture it is like, you know, if you've ever seen a hamster on a wheel, you know, the hamster gets on the wheel and he just starts running, and that wheel starts going round and round. That's the way it is, right from the moment we wake up. And even in our dreams, we're still thinking, although we're not conscious of it. But the bottom line is, we all have an inner dialogue going on all the time. Self-talk. And what are you saying to yourself? It's so very important. I remember one time, you know, right now in my pocket, I have one of these power packs for my lavalier mic. I remember one time I was putting a battery in there. And you know, you got to put the battery in correctly. And if you don't, it won't work. And, you know, I was trying to look at the battery and the plus and the negative on the battery, and I'm sticking it in there. And as I was putting it in, I sensed God say to me, Cedric, you're just like that battery. You have a positive side and you have a negative side in your thinking. And whatever you choose to think, you're going to be. You can either be positive or negative. And it's so true. You know, when I think about the basic polarity of human existence, basically it's this. You can either be positive, I was talking about this yesterday with attitude, or you can be negative. And it's the same in our thinking. As you think, that's the way you're going to be. You can either be optimistic or you can be pessimistic, or maybe somewhere in between. But most people fall in the polarities. And it's very important that you think well. And I want to tell you that you can choose to think. Your thoughts just don't fall on you. You can choose what you want to think. I had a person come up to me one time and he said, "Father, I have all these thoughts." He says, "I don't know where they come from." He says, is it a sin? Some of the thoughts are obsessive, they're lustful, they're angry. I don't know how to, you know, what to do about it. And is it sinful? And I told him, no, it's not sinful. And I heard this verse one time that I really like. You can't control the birds from flying over your head, but you can prevent them from landing on you. And it's the same way with thoughts. We have all these thoughts that come during the course of a day, and you can't control them. I mean, they just kind of fly overhead, but you don't have to let them land on you. In other words, you have a choice what you think. When you wake up in the morning, for example, start thinking all these negative thoughts or feeling depressed or feeling anxious or fearful, you know, you can't control that, but you can control what you want to do with it. Do I want to stay thinking about that, or do I want to go forward and think positive things? For example, I remember I was on a retreat one time. It was last year. It was my 16th anniversary as a priest, June 29th. I was on this beautiful contemplative retreat, praying in silence and, you know, just loving life and worshiping God. Now, it's the day before I'm going to leave. It's my anniversary. I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be good. It's my anniversary. God's going to pour out his grace and everything. 16 years. I wake up in the morning. The first thing I started thinking about was leaving tomorrow. And I thought about packing up and going out in traffic and meeting people and all the noise and all the different things. My heart started beating real fast because I started getting anxious. And as I'm lying there thinking about all these things, I got angry. And I thought to myself, I don't want to think about all this. I don't want to be anxious and fearful and worried. It's my anniversary. You know what I did? I was angry because of all those thoughts, because I wanted a peaceful day. It was my last day on retreat. So what I did is I got up. I said, you know, sometimes you just got to get up, like the man at the pool. Jesus, he's lying there for 38 years. And so many people just lay there in bed thinking all these negative, worried, fearful thoughts. And I think the word of the Lord for you would be, get up and get moving. Well, anyway, I got up. And I said, I'm not going to think about all that stuff. I'm on retreat. And you know what I did? I got out a piece of yellow paper and a pen. And it took a little work at first, but I started giving thanks for all the good things of the 16 years of my priesthood. All the churches I had been to, all the people I had met, all the books I had written, the TV programs I had produced, safety of travel, the blessings, all the golf games I had, you know, all these different things. And I wrote them down. I filled up a whole page of things to be thankful for. And you know what? I didn't throw that page away. I still have it in my bedroom. I put it in a prominent spot because I realized something. You know, God is so good, and he's so beautiful and at work in our lives. And if you just spend a little time, that's what Eucharist means, by the way. It's a Greek word that means thanksgiving. If you just spend a little time giving thanks, your whole mood and your whole day will change. And that's exactly what happened to me. I started off worried and anxious, thinking about the next day and moving out and, you know, all the things that I was going to be dealing with. But once I started giving thanks, everything changed. And it was so beautiful. Now, notice what I did. First of all, this is important if you want to be renewed in your mind. First of all, I thought about what I was thinking about. Most people, you know, they just think, they don't even reflect about what you're thinking. You're not critiquing your mind. Just, oh, you know, I don't feel good and feel fearful, I feel anxious, so you just stick with it. Well, you're going to be that way. You'll get in a bad mood. First thing I did is I thought about what I was thinking about, all that those anxious thoughts. Second thing, I did something about it. You can't control the birds that are flying overhead, but you can stop them from landing on you. You do have a choice, positive or negative. And what I did is it's called positive replacement therapy. I got up, I wrote down some thankful things, my whole mood changed. And it's the same way with you folks. I realize that many of you are worried and fearful and anxious and critical and negative and judgmental and angry and lust-filled. That's the mind. Those of you watching by TV, maybe you're laying in bed and you've got all these thoughts and you turned on TV so that you could get out of this. Well, Jesus says to you, get up and get moving and give thanks. And put something positive in you. That's why you want to watch good Christian programs. It's very important. So the two things that you got to do is evaluate what you're thinking and choose to be positive. Give thanks. That's very important for the renewal of the mind. I remember one time I was playing golf, and I was really having a good game. You know, golf is a fun sport, but a lot of it has to do with the mind. I was having a good game, and I got up to the 17th hole, and as I was going to the tee, I only got two more holes to go. I'm playing so good, you know. But in the past, you know, when I've been playing good, I'll mess up. I'll have a bad hole, make a triple bogey or something, ruin my score. I'm walking to the tee, and I saw in my mind, you know, thoughts aren't just words, they're imaginations, they're pictures. I saw in my mind teeing off, and I saw the ball go out of bounds. And I go, oh, great, you know, wait a minute, I don't want to do that. And I thought to myself, the first thing I did is I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm playing well. And so I replaced it with a positive thought. I saw myself hitting the ball right down the middle. And you know, visualization is very important in your mind also. You watch a pro athlete, you watch golfers, right before they hit the shot, they stand there, sometimes they close their eyes, and they see themselves hitting a good shot. Same thing in preaching. When I get up here, I see myself succeeding. I don't see myself falling or, you know, not doing well or being boring or, you know, failing. I see myself being strong in the Lord, preaching the Word of God, staying graced by the Holy Spirit. And if you see yourself succeeding, most of the time you will. It's very important. So anyway, I saw myself hitting a shot right down the middle, so I stood up there, I replaced that negative thought with a positive thought, hit the ball right down the middle, went down there, hit the next one, made a birdie. Ended up on 18, making a par. I had a great score. It was a 76 that day. That was just last month. I was really happy. And what I was happy about was that I didn't allow my mind to make me hit that ball out of bounds. I stayed strong. You want to talk about the mind of a champion. Watch Tiger Woods sometimes. You know Tiger Woods, the great golfer? He is so much fun to watch. And I love to watch him when he's under pressure and he's there on the green. You watch his focus. He does this. You know why they put that on horses, these blinders on horses? So that they'll stay focused. They won't be distracted by the sides or behind them. Same with Tiger. He gets down over a putt and he looks like this. He's blocking everything out. And you watch him when he lines up that putt. You can tell he's not thinking, I'm going to miss this. He's thinking, this is in the hole. And you know what? He does it time and time again. The mind of a champion. I write this in my book on golf. The mind of a champion. And really, the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. And if anybody had the mind of a champion, it was Jesus. Just look at what he had to face, the adversity, the hardships, the sufferings. And yet he kept going forward. And he didn't give up. And he didn't let those thoughts lead him astray. The mind of a champion. I want you to know that you have the mind of a champion. It's just a matter of you got to choose the positive, you got to think about what you're thinking about, and you got to allow God to really work some healing in your life. And, you know, the same thing happens in relationships. I was watching a psychologist on TV one time, and she said, you know what, the mind is so important when it comes to your relationships. For example, she said many married couples come to her for counseling. And they talk about how they fell out of love. They used to be in love and have all these emotions. Now here they are 30 years, 20 years, 10 years into the marriage. And it's just like the feelings are gone. And what she said was this, you know, you got to watch what you're thinking about your partner. For example, everybody's got flaws. Everybody's human. People are selfish. They don't clean up after themselves. They might, you know, talk in ways that you don't like. And if you start thinking harsh, critical thoughts toward your partner, what's going to happen is your feelings are going to become negative. And then something's going to happen called stonewalling. Stonewalling is when you kind of put up walls between yourself and your partner. You create distance because of the thoughts that you're having. And the way around that is to focus on the good. Your partner may have flaws. Your relationships, the people that you're in relationships with, they have flaws, but they also have good parts too, good points too. And the way to fall back in love and the way to get back together again is by focusing on the good and thinking purposely. Remember, you can choose your thoughts. Thinking good things about your partner. Now, real practically, I live in a religious community. There's 7 of us in Houston. And most of the guys are pretty good, you know, and they're very reverent and very prayerful. Well, there's one of the guys, there's always somebody that annoys you. But anyway, one of the guys that lives in our community, he's very rude and he's very crude in his language, very judgmental person. We'll sit down at the dinner table and he'll be talking about people all the time. And I'll be just, it irritates me. Because I know when I'm at the dinner table, when I'm not at the dinner table, he's probably talking about me, you know? So anyway, it's hard to live with this man. And in my thoughts, you know, I struggle with him and I'm thinking, and you know what that's doing? It's creating distance. I don't want to be around him. But what God started showing me was this. You know what? He has some negative parts, like we all do, but he also has some very positive points. For example, he helps me with my books. When my books are shipped, he takes them off the truck and he puts them in the warehouse. Does it for me. Changed the oil in my truck. Did it for me. Replaced the screens on my windows. Did it for me. And instead of focusing on, you know, his language or his judgmentalism, what God was telling me is, Cedric, focus on the good things that he's doing and how nice he is to you, and you'll be closer to him. So I pray for forgiveness. I try to let those things slide, be closer to him. You know, nobody's perfect. And it's very important the way that you think about other people. And, you know, what about the way you think about yourself? You know, that's another area. You think about different people. You know, you think about your own success and failures. You think about, you know, all kinds of different things, anxious thoughts. But what about the way we think about ourselves? You know, we all have a self-image. Your self-image is the picture of yourself that you carry in your wallet, in your mind. And, you know, many people struggle with their self-image. They just see themselves as, well, I haven't accomplished much, or I'm not really that good, and I could have been a better mother, a better wife, a better husband. And the truth is, you got to see yourself the way God sees you. I remember speaking, you know, many people have negative self-image. This man one time, he was over in the Orient, and he went over to a tattoo parlor, and he's looking at all the colorful tattoos through the window, and he saw one, and it said, "Born to Lose." And he went into the owner, and he said to him, he says, "That tattoo, Born to Lose," he said, "does anybody really choose that one?" And the owner says, "Yes." He says, "Many people choose that tattoo to be put on them." And then he said this, in Oriental, he said, "Before tattoo here, tattoo here." And that's so true. Many people think they're born to lose, and they've got it right in here. But what I want to tell you this morning is that, you know what? You're born to win. Through Christ, we're more than conquerors. And what we have to do is develop that mind of Christ. We've got to believe that we're victorious. We've got to see ourselves succeeding. We've got to put positive thoughts within us, in our relationships and in our life. And we can succeed. We can be strong. I told you yesterday, my thoughts used to be, I can't do it. I'm not going to amount to anything. I'm never going to succeed. That was my mantra. I can't do it. Now, in Christ, I've realized, because of the Spirit of God living within me, I can do it. I can be positive. I can accomplish. I can reach out and help people. And you can too. And it's all a matter of how you want to be. You can't prevent the birds from flying overhead, but you can stop them from landing on you. You can be positive. You can be strong. Your mind can be renewed. So let's talk about that really quickly. You know, in today's gospel, we heard about healing. You know, it's not all up to us. It's up to God too. And the waters of healing, the first reading, Ezekiel, you know, the waters came down for the healing of the nations. And I think where people need healing, look at our world, folks. that the shootings that are happening in Memphis and other places, malls, the murders, the rapes, the adultery, all these different things, you know where they happen first? In the mind. Then people act it out. The mess that our world is in, we need healing as a humanity. Well, I'm inviting you as you leave church today to put your hand in the water and say, Lord, heal me. Heal my mind. Heal my spirit. That water is so beautiful, that beautiful baptismal font you have. The warm water, just like in the reading today. You know, Jesus said, be healed, rise, move. And say, Lord, heal my mind. As you come to communion, Eucharist is a healing sacrament. As you come to communion and you receive Jesus on the hand or on the tongue, you receive his blood, say, Lord, only say the word and I'll be healed. I'm tired of negativity and fear and anxiety. I want to be positive. I want to be happy. He'll bring healing to your mind. And the other area where you can be healed is pray for your mind. Pray for the renewal of your mind. You don't have to be worried and frazzled all the time. You don't have to be anxious all the time. You don't have to wake up day after day negative all the time. God will help you be renewed in the mind. The scriptures want us to be renewed. And we can live, like I said, successful and happy and vibrant and positive, impacting other people. It all begins right here. You're not born to lose. You're born to win. So let's pray to God for healing. Touch the water. Receive Jesus. Go to confession. Pray specifically for healing. It's so important. I want you to live in victory. But the other thing is, you have responsibility to have your mind renewed. God will do his part. We got to do our part. So the first thing is, as I told you, like when I was on retreat, think about what you're thinking about. Don't just lie there in the morning. Don't just lie there by the pool for 38 years saying, oh, everybody gets in the pool before me. Do something about it. First of all, realize what you're thinking. Think about what you're thinking about during the course of the day. You always got the self-talk going on. You're always thinking about something. Well, every once in a while, say, what am I thinking about? Am I harsh toward myself? Am I thinking negative? Am I being critical of other people and I don't want to get near them? You can get your mind renewed. First of all, think about what you're thinking about. Second of all, choose to think positive. That's positive replacement therapy. It's very important. And when you're positive, it's amazing the good things that'll happen. Then the third thing is read the scriptures, read good spiritual books, put positive things within you, and I believe that you will experience your mind being renewed. Pray for healing, take your responsibility, and watch the good things that God will do in your life. I think your relationships will improve, your self-image will improve, your happiness will improve, and even your golf game will improve if you stay positive. And my last thing I want to say is this. You know what? You can be negative or positive. It's up to you. It's your choice. It's very important. Your mind is your responsibility. Don't just think what comes into your thoughts. Remember, birds may fly overhead, but you can stop them from landing on you. So you can be positive or negative. The choice is up to you. And one of the books that really impacted my life growing up was a book called The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. And I've realized that, you know what, being positive or negative, like a battery, is my choice. It's up to me. And the way I want to be is the way I choose. And it's your responsibility and God's grace to heal you. So may you be renewed by God's grace and by your choice. May you not be negative, may you be positive. And let me pray for you now. Lord, I pray that you will renew your people, pour out your grace, your healing water. May your people be positive, happy, successful, victorious, and may they be born to win through your grace. And I ask God's blessing upon you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you call us to renewal, to healing, and especially in our minds. So we surrender our thoughts, our minds to you. We want to be renewed. We want to be healed. For this we pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. And we continue to pray for our church throughout the world that God will give us vocations to the priesthood, to the religious life, lay leaders who will lead our church in the way of truth, in the way of love. For this we pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. And we pray for all married people, for families, that through your thinking, your relationships will improve. You'll continue to focus on the positive aspects of your relatives, and that through these relationships, you will grow. For this we pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. And now if you have an intention in the silence of your hearts, maybe somebody who's sick or somebody who's died and gone before us, we lift them up to God in silence. For this we pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. Father, we give you thanks this day. Everything may not be perfect in our lives, but we come to Eucharist to give thanks, to stay positive. And as we do, may we experience your grace, your healing, your mercy. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
You've reached the end of this teaching.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live with passion.